What's up, Denver Nuggets fans? Welcome to another edition of A Pickaxe to Grind. I'm Brady Hull, host of the whole show on KFKA, bringing you an all things Denver Nuggets podcast, where we follow along with this team throughout the course of the season. You know, the wins, the losses, the storylines, the depth charts, everything going into it with all things Nuggets. So we're excited to get this episode number 2 in the books. Since we talked, the Nuggets have just, well, they won 3 in a row. They've actually won 7 in a row. No, 6 in a row. Excuse me. I keep thinking that Minnesota game right in between. I keep forgetting about that as a part of that back-to-back after that Boston game. But they did lose to Minnesota on a back-to-back. But they have won 7 of their last 8, 6 in a row, looking to make it 7 in a row. As we record this, it's Tuesday, January 17th, so any of the box score or stories about the Nuggets Trailblazers game will obviously be outdated as they play tonight at 7 o'clock. That's Tuesday, January 17th. But since we chatted last, the Nuggets found a way to beat the Phoenix Suns. I get it. They don't have anybody. Everybody's hurt. They're waiting on that roster to get healthy. They beat the Los Angeles Clippers without the MVP, without the two-time, maybe three-time MVP, Nikola Jokic. They win pretty easily on Friday the 13th, 115-103. And then just the other day, with a healthy Nikola Jokic, they beat the Orlando Magic thanks to a last-second three-pointer by the Joker. They win 119-116. So let's take a look at just some of the games, what that means going forward as the Nuggets continue to climb, or not climb, try to put some distance between themselves and the rest of the Western Conference as they're tied with the Memphis Grizzlies 30-13. Both the Nuggets and the Grizzlies 1-2, with the next in line, the New Orleans Pelicans at 26-18. So still a nice opportunity for Denver to try to really put some distance between themselves and most of the Western Conference Finals. So how did they do that the last week? Well, they beat the Phoenix Suns first. And without their studs, without their Chris Pauls and DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker, you knew this wasn't going to be a good shot for the Suns. But I've seen this Nuggets team so many times in the past go up against teams that they're supposed to beat. Maybe their stars are out, or they're just supposed to be a better team on paper than them. And they just kind of take it easy in the first half, or they have a third period meltdown, and then they end up making it a close game, and then it comes down to a three-pointer at the end or something like that. So I've seen too many of those games to think, oh, here comes a sure thing going up against a depleted Phoenix Suns team. But that wasn't the case. Denver got rolling in this one, 126-97. It was a beautiful game by the Joker. He had the, what are we calling it now, Altitude folks? The Sombor double. He had 21 points, 18 freaking rebounds, and 9 assists, 1 steal, 3 turnovers in that game. So close to a triple-double for the Joker in that one. Murray was pretty good with 16 points. He kind of went out of that game a little shaky, twisted up an ankle kind of. So he goes to the locker room, tells Malone and everybody that he's okay. So it wasn't that big of a concern, but he was good to go against the Clippers and everything. So it was fine. Nothing to worry about with Jamal, at least at this point. I said it last week on the podcast that an injury, knocking on wood, is the only real thing that's going to stand in the way of the Nuggets and at least a trip to the Western Conference Finals. I've got big hopes for this team. But they did everything right in this one. They got a chance to rest their starters. You're seeing the emergence of Zeke Nnaji play a lot more minutes. Is he the backup center? It's starting to feel like it. And I like getting him more minutes to see really what he's made of. Now, again, if Najee's going to be the backup center, it's not going to be a true type center. Joker's not really a true type center either. So having a Nnaji who's kind of a unique player, you know, he's not a DeAndre Jordan, you know, well-defined center. He's a power forward that can play center minutes. That's what you're seeing in the new age NBA. I said this earlier on the whole show. You don't need a true center until you need a true center. Meaning if you're going up against a team like Philadelphia or you know, a team that has a Steven Adams, those kind of guys that are true centers, then you need to have another, a real center outside of Joker. Joker go up pound for pound against anybody because he can deliver offensively. But, you know, as far as a backup goes, Zeke Nnaji's nice to have, but this is why DeAndre Jordan's on the team, because at some point you're going to need his size depending on who that's going to be, you know, in a playoff series or just on a random regular season night. So in that Phoenix game, we got to see Zeke Nagy come in, play 20 minutes. He had 15 points and pretty solid overall. You know, I mean, Bones Highland continues to be a spark plug for this group. 24 minutes, 21 points for him. So this game, to me, just talking about this one specifically, we won't stay on it too much, but just a game you're supposed to win, you're supposed to win easily, and that's what they did. Maybe in years past, they don't always do that, but this year certainly feels like the Nuggets are not overlooking anyone. Next up for this team was Friday the 13th when they went up against the Los Angeles Clippers. And this one, I said it earlier, I was like, don't bet on this game. I don't know if Joker's playing. He was rested for wrist management. You know, he messed up that wrist kind of. Remember back in training camp, we had talked about his wrist. He was constantly icing it during the preseason. We wondered how big of a deal that was going to be. And turned out it, you know, so far so good, it hasn't been that big a deal. But if he goes to the coaches at all and expresses any kind of soreness, yeah, you'd rather be safe than sorry. So the Nuggets would go up against the Clippers, who still have a lot of the NBA media thinking that this team is a favorite to go deep into the Western Conference, maybe even represent the Western Conference and go to an NBA championship. I don't see it. So far, the Nuggets have had their way with the Clippers. They destroyed them the other night with the Joker. This was kind of the same thing. They win 115-103, a tight game throughout. I think at halftime, they were down by three, or they were down by one, and still found a way to come out of this and win. I mean, but that's the thing. You had your guys that have surrounded Joker and have been great complementary players stepping up. Let's go down the list. Aaron Gordon, 17 points for him, 5 boards. He was big in this game. Porter, MPJ, just continues to grow, and we're seeing it. I mean, he told the Denver Post the other day that he's starting to feel more like himself, more athletic. He's getting into those athletic moves. I've been impressed with his defensive side of the ball. You know, I don't think he's ever going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but he just seems smarter out there. He's playing defense. He's playing heady defense, but aggressive too. If he gets his hand on that basketball, he's smacking that ball between his hands, and he's really pulling down a rebound or just coming up with a quick steal or something along those lines. So MPJ, been impressive. DeAndre Jordan started that game, 26 minutes, 8 points, 6 boards, 3 assists. You know what? If that's what you're going to get from this guy, heck yeah, he's a great teammate. They absolutely love him. He's a wonderful leader. I love if you can get him to come in and produce like that. So that was nice to see. Jamal Murray carried the bulk of the load, playing 39 minutes in that game, 24 points for him, 8 boards, 4 assists. We saw Zeke Nagy, Bruce Brown, Vlatko Chanchar come off the bench, as well as Bones Highland. Yeah, so-so night off the bench for Denver, but you know, what more can you ask for? You're without the Joker. You're without the maybe 3-time MVP, and you still beat a Clippers team. That's just, you know, again, I know they were playing without Paul George, but they have Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's with 24 points. So it's also, you know, nobody really stood out for the Clippers. And, you know, I wonder, this is the game I'm talking about, where without Joker, you don't need a true center until you need a true center. Well, they have Zubac on their roster, and, you know, he had 6 points in this game, 28 minutes, but that's a true center. So that's going to be a tough guard for Zeke Nagy. Getting DeAndre Jordan in, okay, that makes more sense. And Jordan did what he was supposed to do. He kept people out of the paint. Zubac, in 28 minutes, had 6 points. So that's why having a DeAndre Jordan is so nice. You're not going to use him all the time, but when a team and maybe their starter plays a few more minutes or staggered minutes with the bench unit or the backup center is a true center, having a DeAndre Jordan really makes sense. Denver gets that win. They get their 30th win with that one. Then they get to, or the 29th, excuse me. Then they go up against the Orlando Magic. They get the Joker back, and it's a crappy game. It is what it is. Just a crappy, crappy game. But the Nuggets found a way. This is another one. Kind of going back to the Suns mindset. They don't overlook teams often. There are going to be games. It's the NBA. You're going to lose to bad teams. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a year. You're just going to have games where the shots aren't falling, your defense is just there, you're just not with it. Joker comes back in this game to play. So you're thinking, okay, maybe they blow him out of the water here. Wasn't the case. Orlando fought hard. You know, you had Gary Harris on this team, who was a beloved Denver Nugget, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. You had a Bol Bol that was a former Nugget. Those guys, you know, they want to show out in front of Denver. You know, Bol Bol wants to say, hey, here's what you could have got because I'm playing pretty well with Orlando. And Gary Harris is more of a, hey, it's a homecoming thing. I don't think there's any disrespect between the fans and Gary Harris. I think it's more of a, I want to play okay against this team. Defensively, he was okay. Offensively, Harris just really isn't that guy much anymore. So we get to it. It's a close game back and forth. Orlando's got the lead. Then the Nuggets get it back. Then you have some key defensive stops, some key scores. Joker finds Gordon for like a reverse dunk. I mean, that's huge late in this one. So you get it tied up at 116 to 116. They set up a play. Jamal bounces it around. He kind of hands the ball off to Joker right beneath the top of the key. Joker basically gives Jamal the clear to get out of my way. He takes a step back, hits a three, game over. Nuggets win 119 to 116, and they grab their 30th there. That was a significant win because one of the things about Joker that came out maybe a year and a half ago or a year ago was, is he the guy like Luka that can create and create his own shot, create his own game-winning shot? Can he clear everybody out and do something? You know, LeBron James takes the ball, you know, the top corner or whatever, and he holds the ball on his hip and he kind of bends over slightly and he looks at the rest of his team and he basically waves them off. They spread out. You know he's going one-on-one. He's either going to try to drive to the basket, he's going to pull up for a three, or maybe he'll drive halfway, pull up at the free throw line extended, try to end a game. We see that. The question was, can Joker do that kind of stuff? He's never going to be a guy that starts, you know, 4 feet behind the three-point line and clears people out. But inside that three-point line, even just inside that three-point line, he can work some magic. He has a lot of options there now. He has added a lot to that utility belt. Could be a quick fake, could be a quick shot, could be the quick fake, and then I'm taking off, and I'm going to do a little Euro step, and I'm going to get into the paint. I'm probably going to get a foul call. We're going to do a little teardrop. He's got the Sombor shuffle. He's got the fadeaway, which is more so what that last shot was against Orlando. So what I really liked in this one, no, it wasn't your craziest of moves to win the game, but it was a nice little move where he's kind of anticipating what the defense is going to do. I'm going to take a step back, and we're going to win this game. So I liked that moment. More on the magic and just kind of what was into that game. Gary Harris coming back. I want to say this about Gary Harris. You know, no matter what the Nuggets end up doing, maybe they go win a title. Maybe they win a couple of titles before it's all said and done with Nikola Jokic and this crew. Gary Harris is one of those guys that is going to be, should be remembered as really a foundational piece to what they were trying to do. Will Barton, I have respect for him. He just wasn't consistently the guy. But Gary Harris defensively was consistently the guy. You know, and that when he got hurt a couple of years ago, it really slowed him down as far as offensively, but he was always a nice part to this team. He was a good passer. You know, he kept thinking. In fact, before Jamal Murray stormed more so onto the scene, Gary Harris and Joker were kind of working that two-man game before Joker's MVP runs were going on. So, you know, if this team wins a title, we're always going to look back and go, okay, Nikola Jokic, Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. I mean, we're going to look at those guys, the top guys that we're putting. It's what you do with any championship team. But Gary Harris was one that really helped establish the culture in Denver. And I'm not saying this has always been a defensive-minded culture. That's not what I'm talking about. Just this fun group of guys that loves each other, that really plays for each other, and connected well with Michael Malone. So I think that he was a big part of that in establishing. So really cool to see Gary Harris, you know, just back in Denver and still playing meaningful minutes, still starting. I don't think his career's done. It's just he's not going to turn into that super great player that we thought he was going to. But still, starting guard in the NBA is a big deal. So cool for him. Cool to see Gary Harris back in town. Bol Bol was interesting. 17 points for him against the Nuggets. What could have been with Bol Bol? He even admitted to the Denver Post that he wished he would have worked a little harder while he was in Denver. Oh, that would have been nice, man. That would have been fantastic. I did find myself watching him going, son of a bitch. You know, sorry to cuss, but I can't do that much on the terrestrial signal. But this guy could have been something, maybe something really unique, a unicorn type player. I mean, he handles the ball kind of like a two guard, and then he's built like a center. You saw that. You saw what we all wanted to see against against Denver. I mean, he was putting on those moves with those with 17 points. I mean, Joker even, he was messing around saying, I told Bol Bol at the end of the game, you know, you keep dunking on me, I'm going to F you up. So I was kind of bittersweet seeing that. Like, right now, I like the pieces of this team. I do. Come on. If you could have Bol Bol as a backup center over DeAndre Jordan and Zeke Nagy, would you take it? I mean, he's not a bad player. And he might turn out to be a really good one. He's averaging 12 points a game and seven boards a game. So, not bad. Would you take him as a backup over DeAndre Jordan and Zeke Nagy? It's hard to say right now because everything's going so well for Denver. The idea of trading anybody and messing with any kind of this chemistry just seems far-fetched, seems crazy. But it's worth having a discussion about it. Probably not. People are listening to this freaking out. But Bol Bol's been a fine player this year, at least. Would have been cool to see if he could have made it in Denver. But there you go. The Nuggets get it done. They win the last three games since we talked, and they have put themselves in that top spot, sitting over Memphis at this stage because they have the tiebreaker, 30-13. Now's the time, folks. Now's the time for the Nuggets to try to put some distance between themselves and the rest of the conference. Portland tonight, like I said, Portland's probably not going to be a threat. They have some nice players. I love Chauncey. I love Damian Lillard, Jeremy Grant, Yusuf Nurkic, but this team's they're just not built like a championship team. They're just not built like a top-tier playoff team, unless they get hot and change my mind. But I want to root for them. I actually like to root for Portland. If I'm rooting for another team outside of Denver, it's fun to root for Portland because I respect the hell out of Damian Lillard and what how he chose to stay with Portland, and who can't respect the hell out of Chauncey Billups if you're a Nuggets fan. But I don't see them as a big problem. Got to take care of them tonight. I think they're 6.5-point favorites. So the next they have four games in between our next recording, which we do every Tuesday. They'll take on Portland on a Tuesday night, January 17th, and then they have a back-to-back again against the Minnesota Timberwolves. That is an 8 o'clock game on ESPN on Wednesday. And then Friday night, they play the Indiana Pacers. Sunday night, they play the Oklahoma City Thunder. Boy, there's four games right there that you could easily grab four more wins. And that would be 10 wins in a row. They could go on a 10-game winning streak. Got to take care of Portland tonight. Last thought of the day, the trade deadline, of course, we're getting closer and closer to the All-Star break, the trade deadline, all that stuff. The only name that's been floated out there for, Jamal Murray's name was floated out there a little bit. That's not realistic. Bones Highland's name was thrown out because when you look at Bones, the only reason Bones Highland's name's thrown out is because he's the only name you have outside of your starters. Jamal Murray's not going anywhere. Not this year. They're not messing with the starting lineup. KCP, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic, safe as they could possibly be. They're not moving those guys. That's their core. That's their nucleus. Not touching it. Christian Brown, rookie, too young to have any real value. They're not moving him. They like him. Bruce Brown, there's another foundational player coming off the bench. They absolutely love him. Calvin Booth, fantastic fist bump to you, my friend. Jeff Green, you're not getting anything for. Ish Smith, you're not getting anything for. Chanchar, his name's starting to pop up more, but you're not going to get a lot for him. The only thing you need right now, the biggest weakness on this roster, is not defense anymore. It's not the bench anymore. Who's your backup center? Who is your true backup center? Because you're going to want to answer that question by the time you get to the playoffs. So, the reason Bones Highland's name comes up is because he's the only real valuable player that's going to yield anybody significant. People always talk about the trade deadline. Oh, you got to get this. You got to get this. Well, are you willing to part ways with something good to get something that you need, which is also good? That would be Bones Highland. Personally, I stay the course here unless I see a drastic change in the next 10 to 15 games. Personally, I'm staying the course. But the Bones Highland thing comes up because you're wondering what is life going to be like when Joker is out, playoffs. Game two, you're down 0-1. You got to win this game. Joker's out first 5-6 minutes of the second quarter. You're down two. You got to stop the bleeding. Is DeAndre Jordan and Zeke Nagy, are those two centers, again, Nagy is a power forward playing center at times, you have confidence that they can help you hold things over until the two-time MVP gets out on the floor? hopefully your other guys can carry it because they're staggering minutes with Jamal, and I think that'll certainly continue. Playoff minutes are certainly different than regular season minutes, but that's the discussion we're having here. If you can get a better backup center and maybe a draft pick for a Bones Highland, do you consider it? I say no. I say you keep working Zeke Nagy into these games that make sense for him at center. You keep working DeAndre Jordan in to see if you really have anything there. Can he be like a Boogie Cousins for you last year? That's the idea. I think a lot of people were upset about Boogie, you know, situation there. Boogie thinks he's a number one. Can DeAndre Jordan give you real meaningful minutes like he did the other night against the Clippers? Because if you can answer those questions, dude, you're solid. This team is solid. They don't have to worry about the trade deadline. I would stand pat. But I do want to see, I want to see this trend of Zeke Nagy really pick up. Because you know what you have in most of these other guys. Still waiting to see what we got there. It's going to be fun, man. It's a wild season. It's great to see it. It's fantastic. Dude, this team is, they're 30-13. More than the halfway point. We have played 43 games so far. So we're almost, I mean, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of this thing. We get through the All-Star break and away we go. Which, by the way, I think Joker, Gordon, does Murray make an All-Star game? I don't know. I think it's going to be just Joker. But it's cool to dream. It's cool to have those guys in the mix. It's a great season so far, guys. It's going to be fun talking about this team, and I'll be excited to keep this podcast rocking and rolling. Bear with me as we work out the kinks and kind of decide what this podcast is going to be. Obviously, Nuggets. Are we going to go into more game coverage? Are we going to go into more of the storylines, more deep into the players, what have you? Well, we'll maybe a little bit of everything. So I hope you guys appreciate the show or appreciate a podcast. The podcast, as always, are available here on 1310kfk.com. Look out for a new one every Tuesday evening, Tuesday afternoon, and we'll have one ready for you. And as always, listen to the whole show. I'm on weekdays 11 to 1 Mountain Time on 103.1 FM and 1310kfka, as well as 1310kfk.com. Podcasts are available at that website as well as my website, thewholeshow.com. That's going to do it for us. This has been A Pickaxe to Grind with me, Brady Hull. Keep grinding. We'll be back with you guys next week. And in the meantime, let's go Nuggets.